Okay, so you guys should be excited because we're actually, Emirat Hashem, if we have enough time, we're going to touch upon like the famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo that everybody quotes. And I've always said, I feel like it maybe you guys who came to Ramban last year, I tried to make this claim, that I think that Ramban is misunderstood. But I think that once we see the Ramban right here, hopefully that'll give us a little context to jump into that Ramban there. Does this mean we're not going to talk about that Ramban when we get to Bo? I don't know. It's a very long Ramban. There's many different parts of it. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll talk about a different part. Maybe we won't talk about it. But says the Ramban by us. Shloshim v'shalosh. Memvav tesvav. So it says over here. It says over here that they came out to Mitzrayim and there are 34. Okay, memvav tesvav. It says. Eli bnei Lea asher yold al Yaakov b'padan Aram be'ezdina bito kol nefesh banav uvnosav shloshim v'shalosh. All the descendants of Leah were 33. And then it starts getting into the numbers. Fine. So now, says the Ramban, uvifartan, but when you start counting them one by one, yata motze, ela shloshim v'shtayim, you only count 32. Ela zu yocheved shenolda b'chnisason la'ir. But the 33rd is not on the list, but she actually was born kind of on her way down to Mitzrayim because she was born as they were entering Mitzrayim. Shnemar asher yolda osa levi bimitzrayim. Leidosa bimitzrayim. She was born in Mitzrayim. Veino rasa bimitzrayim. She wasn't conceived. Her pregnancy didn't happen in Mitzrayim. Zoi shitas raboseinu. That's a medrash. Rabbi Avram Hishiv. Ve'amar kizetema. The Ibn Ezra says that is inconceivable. If, again, I know it's early for math, especially for me. I know there's some math people here. You know, some math people on their way also. But okay, you have to bear with me for a second. It's not really complicated math. But meaning, assuming that Yocheved was born at the very, very beginning of the 210 years, so then you start getting into crazy stuff, says Ibn Ezra. So he says, Sheholida Moshe v'hi bas mea u'shloshim shana. So again, I guess he worked back 210, and Moshe was 80. We're saying it would be in Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then she would be 130 when Moshe was born. V'lama hiskir devar Sarah Shaisa Bastishim. The Torah stresses the miracle that Sarah was able to conceive at 90, have a baby at 90, and now we have a baby at 130, and Gilu, we're not even making a point of it. I think the Ibn Ezra is his lashon. It's not enough this the tsar of this medrash to say she was 130 when she gave birth. But the paitanim later on, I don't know whenever these piyutim were composed, but probably not that before the Ibn Ezra himself. But the authors of the piyutim have a piyut for Simchas Torah. Yocheved imi acharei hisnachami, that Yocheved, my mother, gave birth after she was consoled. Anybody have a footnote to tell us what this is talking about? She was Miss Nachemis from what? This is what happens when I don't look it over. The Medrash seems to be saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to his mother, you know, mourn for me. Either she was still alive when Moshe Rabbeinu was dying after 120. She'd be 250 at that point. So like, they're getting us from each direction. The time when she gave birth, the time when she died. It's Midrashim are driving me crazy, says Ibn Ezra. I mean, did anybody live that long? It's either just a medrash, not to be taken at face value, or it's a das yachid, but lamaisa, it's not the pshat. It's not the pshat, says Ibn Ezra.
What about Pinchas?
Also, he says not the chat. Vine, pen yechacham be'enav b'stiras divrei raboseinu. Lest the Ibn Ezra thinks he's so wise to reject the divrei chachamim, divrei raboseinu. Ani tzarach la'anos elav. I have to respond. Meaning, it's almost as if the Ramban is saying it doesn't even his comment doesn't even not validate. What's what I'm looking for? Doesn't even
register.
No. It doesn't deserve a response. There's a word I was looking for that escaped me. It doesn't something a response. Doesn't deserve a response.
Yeah, warrant.
Yeah, all those words. Good words. But Lamaisa, I want to make a point of him to see that he is wrong. Okay. V'omer ki al kol panim. Agav, I feel like I mentioned this, but Ayin Sham in the Ramban's Hakdama to his Perush, where he says he's going to have two Perushim, which he focuses on a lot. Ibn Ezra and Rashi. And I forget his exact lashon. He says, for Ibn Ezra, I'm going to have like sinam migula va'ava misusera, something like that. I'm going to have like an open hate but hidden love. Like I respect Ibn Ezra, but sometimes I feel like I gotta be a little kharif. Okay, v'omer. Okay, I gotta respond. V'omer ki al kol panim yeh b'dvar yocheved pelagadol ben anisim hanistarim shem yisoda Torah. This is now an important line. They're all important, but in terms of his point. So no matter what, no matter how you slice Yocheved's lifetime and when she gave birth, something here is going to be a miracle. Okay, in terms of how we usually think about people giving birth. But says the Ramban, and this is the miracle, that's the Yisod, the hidden miracles are the Yisod HaTorah. Okay, I have to figure out what that means as we go through this. Kibas Levi Atzmo. The Pasha Pshat is that Yocheved is a daughter of Levi himself, not a descendant of Levi. Lo Misyacheselab, not again, not a descendant. Goshekosav, Asher Yalda Osa Lilevi B'Mitzrayim. She was born to Levi Mitzrayim. Vodkosav Es Yocheved Dodaso. It says that Yocheved was... It was the Doda, or of Doda of who? Remind me? Of Amram. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Levi gave birth to Yocheved when he was young, Kasher Holid Kolbanav, as the Pasha Pshat is that he had all his kids in Mitzrayim when he was a young man. And you want to say, not like this Medrash, that however you're going to get to 33, the 33rd is not Yocheved. Yocheved was not born before Mitzrayim, she would have been said explicitly. She was born later on in Mitzrayim. So Levi had her later on in Mitzrayim. Even if you want to say it was relatively soon after the Shvatim got to Mitzrayim, Hina, he belayed us Moshe, Zekena Me'od, Kiminin Shemar Ravosinu, Okarovlo. Meaning, Chazal were saying that Yocheved was born Bena Chomos, like just as they were getting to Mitzrayim. So, okay, fine. Let's say she wasn't born then. She was born 5 years later, so what, she's going to be 125. Does that make you feel better, Ibn Ezra? Like, maybe 125. It's all miraculous. Like, it's all crazy. It's all miraculous. Let's say 50 years later. She was born much later. She's only going to be, I'm sorry, what's the math going to be? She's going to be only, let's say, 70 or 80. She's only going to be 80 when Moshe was born. I forget what he gets to 57. Let's say 57 years later. I think that's the end of Levi's life, maybe. Ben Me'ashana. So Levi, at that point, when he has Yocheved, is going to be 100. However you want to push it as far as you can go, it's just going to be a double miracle. Levi is going to be 100. Avram's age, again, Ibn Ezra's point was, it makes a point by Sarah, why wouldn't it make a point by Yocheved? So why wouldn't it make a point by Levi, if he's the same age as Avram? Okay, let's say, you want to push Levi all the way to 100, so she's going to be 73 when she gives birth to Moshe. You want to push it off as far as you can, right before Levi dies, then he's going to be, I don't know how old Levi was, I think the pasuk doesn't say, right? But he was 130 when he gave birth, so then, and Yocheved is going to be 43, but Lamaisa is just going to make Levi's the conception of Yocheved even more miraculous. Oh, okay, so says Ramban, Ibn Ezra is wrong. Aval omer lecha davar shu emes ubarer batorah. But the Ibn Ezra had two issues. One was that it seems like midrashi, you know? How could it be? She's 130. So the Ramban says, no matter how you slice it, something miraculous is going on. His second point, though, is that the Torah doesn't make note of it. So why doesn't Torah make note of it if it's miraculous? Asks Ibn Ezra. So now the Ramban's responding to that. I'll tell you something which is clear, of the Torah. If you have a Navi who comes and says, right, I don't know, Od arbim yom niveir nefeches. Oh, there's something. There's going to be miracles in of the Makos. There's going to be who knows what. A navi is declaring a miracle. She's not making mitzvah. Oh, malach nigle b'malachus Hashem yaskir maka. Or there's a malach who comes and reveals something to somebody that the Torah is mentioning. I'm not sure. I don't think the Ramban says why those are mentioned. But my hunch was that the Ramban would say, not because those are greater miracles. Maybe they are. Maybe he'd say, because those are important to know that Hashem speaks to Nevi'im, or Hashem has Malachim engaged in our universe. Maybe that's a pshat. It could also be that when there's somebody who's there declaring it, that usually means it's like a tzibur kind of thing. You have the Malach declaring something to the tzibur, Nevi to the tzibur, then it's kind of the storyline of Am Yisrael. So we'll discuss this miracle. Or in the case of Avram Avinu, it was revealed by a Malach, but it's also part of like the storyline of the birth of Yitzchak. It's part of the storyline of Am Yisrael. I'm not sure exactly what the point is of this, the Navi or the Malach, but the Ramban says, then we'll mention it for one reason or another. But Nasim Me'aleim, if you have something miraculous, again, when the case of Yocheved or Levi, however old they were when they gave birth, there's no Navi involved, there's no Malach involved. It was a miracle. But it was a miracle. Nasim Alem, it happened on its own. Lazar Tzadik, or Lahachris Russia, to help a Tzadik to destroy Russia. Lo Yaski Rubatorah Benavim. That's not going to be mentioned. Vizeu Zav Rosech Yutzak. It says burning hot gold. Befiah Chacham Azeh. In the mouth of this wise man of the Ibn Ezra. Yashay Yishiv. There we go. Arabosinu Beinin Pinchas. Again, he was also upset by the idea of Pinchas and Eliyahu, Ayin Sham and the Ibn Ezra. Vizulasubim Komos Harbe. And many other places, the Ibn Ezra kind of just rejects these Midrashim out of hand because. Again, I don't know what the Ramban would say. Is the Ramban taking all these midrashim at face value? Or he'd say, the reason why you don't necessarily take them at face value is not because they're miraculous. That doesn't bother us, as the Ramban. They could be miraculous. That could happen. Happens all the time. It could be we don't have to take them at face value for other reasons. It could be the point is something deeper. But the Ramban says the Ibn Ezra is kind of all, out of, not out of hand, whatever, offhand, I don't know, whatever the expression is. Rejection of these midrashim because they're miraculous is wrong. It's just wrong. Valami yaskiri makasuv. Why should the Torah mention all these miracles? Ki kol yisodos ha-Torah. All the foundations of the Torah, benisim nistaramhim. Everything is based on hidden miracles. And now he's going to elaborate. This is very... V'im ha-Torah ein b'chol inyano rak nisim lo teva uminhag. The entire Torah doesn't have anything besides miracles. There's no nature and there's no way of things. Everything is miraculous. Oh, so this sounds very against what I believe in the Ramban. What I believe in the Ramban is that the Ramban's shita is that when the sun rises and sets from the east to the west, that's called nature. And when a person is exposed to bacteria that he gets sick, that's nature. And when a person, who knows what, I think the Ramban believes in nature. But the Ramban says nothing is natural, everything is miracles. Bo nireh. Let's look at the Hemshech. Share Yehudei HaTorah, all of the predictions of the Torah, all the guarantees of reward, kulam osos umovsim, they're all miraculous. Kilo yikareis v'yamus beteva habal achas min ha'arayos, o ha'ochel chelev. Why, there's nothing miraculous, there's nothing natural, sorry. But somebody who eats chelev, who's Baal Aharayos, he's going to die young. Or Chalila will die young, Chalila's kids will die young. I mean, Ayin Sham the Ramban by Kares. The Ramban says there's different types of Kares. Some Kares could be the guy dies young. Some Kares could be that the guy's kids die. Some Kares could be the guy's actually cut off spiritually in Olam HaNeshamos, which is the most intense, but it depends on the type of Avera and what kind of Russia that person was. It seems like the Ramban is talking about the ones that happen in our natural world, the person dying young, for example. So there's nothing natural about him eating chelev that would cause him to die young. V'lo yiyu ha-shamayim ke-barzel b'tivam ibnei zar'enu b'shana ha-shvi'es. There's nothing natural that because we're not observing Shemitah properly, that the sky should become like iron and not rain the next year. That's not natural. V'chein kol yiudei ha-Torah b'tovos ha-hein. All the Torah's promises about the good that will come to us in terms of there's going to be peace and there's going to be health and there's going to be abundance. And the idea that a tzaddik who's a tzaddik is going to give him a siyata deshmaya. V'chol tefilos David Malkeinu, v'chol tefilos Seinu. And the idea that a tefillah can be mashpia, and somehow the fact that even though there's bacteria floating around, that the person can die with Hashem, he's going to be healed. Nisim v'niflos. That's all miraculous. El she'ein bem shinui mifursam b'tivo shel olam. Kasher eskarti zekfar. However, what makes them unique is that nothing changes in terms of the rules of nature. I think this is a very important line from Maishita. Meaning, the world functions naturally, says the Ramban. There's a certain system that Hashem works with, and Hashem will make it, even though the system is that when there's rain, so then things grow, so within the system it'll be, and therefore there won't be rain, and therefore things won't grow. Not that there's going to be rain and things won't grow. Or not that, there won't be rain and things will grow. It's within the system that if you do what you're supposed to do, I'll bring rain. If you don't do, then I won't bring rain. V'chulev. Odev shereinu Ezra's Hashem. I'll explain this more. Okay. Ukfar pirashi. I'm skipping a little bit. Kiapela be'Avram. The idea that the Ibn Ezra noted, that why was it mentioned by Avram, that he was going to give birth. Inenu kasha yachshav ha-chacham ha-niskar. He doesn't want to mention by name. Wow, harif. That not like that wise man that I mentioned earlier thought. Bizulaso yivale hamikar, like other, I guess, mefarshe ha-Torah. Ki Avram, the reason why it was mentioned is not because it was miraculous. Ki Avram holed es Yitzlak terem moso shivim v'chameh shana. Right? Meaning Avram, at that point, was going to live, when he gave birth to Yitzhak, was going to live for another 75 years. V'nei lo avru alav shnei chalakim b'yamav. He didn't reach yet two-thirds of his lifetime. He didn't reach two-thirds of his lifetime. V'anashim b'chol dor ein hazikna b'hem ad abor alehem shloshes chelke yimosam. people, shlosha, three quarters, generally a person won't be able to conceive, a man won't be able to conceive, to impregnate, only once he's three quarters of the way past his lifespan, something like that. As you ask the doctors about how old people get and when they can stop having children, that's what they'll tell you for men. It's about three quarters of their lifespan, something like that. And nowadays, people live in their 70s. The doctors wouldn't say it's miraculous. A person can conceive, even impregnate, even in his 60s. So for Avram's lifespan, though, it actually wasn't. Meaning, it's interesting because the pasuk says it was miraculous. I mean, or Kedoni Zakin, meaning it's no, Sarah was saying about Avram. I don't know, but is he saying Lamaisa? Okay, it's a little bit unusual. I think the Rabban would agree, but it's not beyond the realm even of Teva, even that. People could become fathers at 70, even 80 years. As long as they are still, whatever, still young in body. And even for women, it's a span. It's not like there's a certain time where all women stop being able to become pregnant. As long as they're menstruating, they can become pregnant. The bigger miracle, the miracle by Avram and Sarah was that they had been trying, they had been married for decades, and now they're old, and they're past their prime in terms of fertility. And in the entire lifetime they couldn't have kids, and all of a sudden now they're going to have kids. Also by Sarah, the miracle was that until that point she stopped menstruating. It's interesting that the pasuk points out by Sarah that she, now that she became pregnant, she menstruated, and then she became pregnant. Meaning, there's a system. The miracle is that somehow the system started again for her. But, Beseder. And if you want to say that Yocheved lived as long as Levi, she was relatively fertile until she became relatively close to old age. Just like you could say, if a woman now, I'm saying now, not the Ramban, I don't know what the lifespan was in the 70s for the Ramban. Lifespan is in the 80s, let's say, around 80. So a woman can conceive in her 40s, half her lifespan, so if she's living into her, who knows what, 140s. So to say she's having a kid in her 70s or whatever, it's not, or I guess she was 130 there. But I'm saying, but Lamaisa, it's not inconceivable even within the realm of nature, says Ramban. And also, it was a miracle within the system, as I'm saying, because the Ramban, because Hashem wanted that she'd be the mother of these special brothers who would lead the Geula, and therefore the time wasn't right for the Geula, so he pushed off her ability to have kids until that point. But Lamaisa said it's not inconceivable. Nothing is beyond Hashem. Getting back, and I'm going to have also like a point here, not just like understanding the Ramban's understanding of miracles in Torah, which is in itself obviously very important. But I think what the Ramban is saying is that the entire Torah is miracles in the sense that when a person has a certain schus from Lima Torah, from Chesed, from Tefillah, or Chalila, the opposite, that the person should have a bracha, should have a klala, should have a reward, should have a punishment, should have siyata d'shmaya, should have a punishment siyata d'shmaya, whatever, negative siyata d'shmaya, all that's miraculous, and that Hashem is intervening in our world, and he's making sure the person who did the right thing, and all of a sudden he's going to see, oh, there's a sale of 2-for-1 for his farm that he wanted to buy, that's a miracle, because he wasn't planning on going in that way, he wasn't going to lift up his eyes in that direction, meaning everything is orchestrated for the person to get what he's supposed to get, for latova lemuta, for the good or for the bad. That's all a miracle, and that Hashem is orchestrating, everything should work out the way it's supposed to work out. But does the Ramban think there's no natural system framework that everything is working? I don't think so. I feel like there's other Rambans that I could try to bring proofs in other places. I think it's just, to me, that's just not the pshat of the Ramban. I think the Ramban is saying the fact that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west is a miracle. Meaning, it's Hashem's ratzon. He set up the system that way, but that's a system. That's natural. When he says everything in the world is miraculous, there's no teva or minhag, he means that the fact that people get sick in a certain time, people get healthy in a certain time, there's war, there's peace, there's rain, there's famine, all that is miraculous in the sense that Hashem is orchestrating it in the way that's supposed to happen. That's why I understand the Ramban. So let's look at the Ramban in Parshas Bo and then just have a quick takeaway. Famous words of the Ramban. He's talking obviously about Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Makos and all these open miracles. Hamifursamim, these open, conspicuous miracles. Adam mode benisim hanistarim. A person comes to accept, acknowledge, recognize the hidden miracles. Shein yisod haTorah kula, which is the foundation of the entire Torah. Shein la Adam chilek v'teras Moshe Rabbeinu. A person can't have a share in Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. Ad shenamin, until we believe bechol dvareinu umikreinu. Everything that happens to us, shekulam nisim. Everything is miraculous. Ein behem teva minhago shalom. There's no nature or just the way of the way. Again, the same expressions by us and by Yigash. Or minug. Bein barab and bein biyachid. Whether it's for the tzibur or for an individual. El and ya, again, he's going to explain what I mean. He's going to explain. Ya'aseh mitzvos, yatzdichenu scharo. If he does mitzvos, he's going to be successful. Bim ya'avar aleim yachrisenu oncho. If he violates them, he's going to chilele get kares. Hakol b'gzeras elyon kasher eskarti kfar. Everything is Hashem's gzeras, I explain. And when we have these public declarations in the Torah, Am Yisrael, when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, there's going to be peace and there's going to be abundance, and Chalila, and in Shemitah you're going to get abundance afterwards. If it's the opposite, you're going to have famine. And because Hashem declared that, and this is what we see throughout history, the Am Yisrael lives in a miraculous way. We have this incredible siyata d'shmaya to be successful or chalila to suffer. And people will say, and they do say, and they have said throughout history, why, what's happening to the Jews? They'll say, apparently they have a certain siyata d'shmaya. People will declare it. Hashem, their God, punished them because they abandoned him. And when we're successful, they'll say, wow, this people is a chosen people. They'll be fearful of you. Fine. Okay, again, why am I making a point of this? First of all, because I'm just like a troublemaker, and I feel like a sense of, if people are saying one thing, I want to prove that it's wrong, because it just, whatever, it just... I just have a personality like that. You want to always argue the other side. I think that the pshat of the Ramban is not that he's saying that the fact that water freezes at zero or /32, whatever, and that gravity makes things fall, and that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west is a miracle. I think the Ramban believes that that's a system Hashem made in the universe to go on until the world, Hashem decides to change the world. That's a system. When the Ramban says everything is a miracle, there's no nature, there's no minhag, everything is miraculous, everything is Hashem, that means Hashem is always involved in our lives. Everything we're doing is miraculous. And for me, that's actually a much deeper point than the first one. To say that the entire world is a miracle, okay, that's interesting. Hashem at every moment is making sure the sun should rise this way, that the water should freeze, that the ball should fall down. Okay, that's interesting. It shows you Hashem's hashkacha, which is important. But I think that the way I'm reading the Ramban is even deeper. It's saying Hashem is literally in our lives every single moment. That's what it means. Everything is miraculous. Nothing is natural. To say that if a person, something frustrating happened, or something, happy happened over the course of your day, if you got a nice message from somebody, or you understood the Pshat and Tosfos, or you, whatever, it was six shnitz when it wasn't supposed to be six shnitz, you're like, oh, thanks. Meaning, it all stems from feeling like Hashem is in a relationship with you at every single step of the way. Because that's what the Ramban is saying. Everything is a miracle. Hashem is with us every single step of the way, providing for us, or Chalila, teaching us a lesson by taking away from us, because everything in the world is Hashem involved in our lives. I think that's, in a certain way, a much deeper message. It's to say Hashem is making the sun rise in a certain way. That could also be true. I just don't think it's a shot in the Ramban. But like we talked about a few weeks ago, the idea of tefillah and the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban, we're saying for the Rambam, maybe, the idea of a daily tefillah is because everything we're doing should feel like Hashem is there to assist us. I think it fits in very well with this Ramban. Everything that happens in our lives, chol mikreinu, is from Hashem, and therefore we should feel that Hashem is part of that. Emirat Hashem. Develop our sensitivity to actually feel that connection. That's the goal of all of Avodas Hashem.